It's you know what that means.
What the fuck is up? It's Mystery Wrestling Theater 420, episode 70, season 3, episode 23. I'm going to call it Buy in the Revolution.
All right, yeah, easy enough.
That's all we fucking did. All right, so we're a little late because of some shit. That's fine. We did watch a review for just the buy in.
Yes.
We watched that. We were talking about some other shit as well.
Yep.
Why don't you go ahead and give a quick happy birthday and shit?
Yes. So happy birthday to Melina, Rick Steiner, and Tiger Ali Singh.
Also, Nikita Karloff.
Oh, okay. That wasn't on there. I missed it.
I found that on Vainglorious.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I didn't look at that one. I was lazy this time.
Yeah, I get it. Did the quick straight of the day, even though it's just me smoking, is LA Kush Cake.
Ooh.
Or La Kush Cake. I don't know how you want to say that, but LA Kush Cake.
LA Night Cake.
LA Night Cake. All right, so we only did the 3 buy-in matches, which, I mean, should have been on a pre-show. It's fine. Let it be on a pre-show.
Yeah, I mean, they're all, I mean, I guess the last one probably didn't need to, but it was still good.
Right.
So,
I mean, without watching the card, which card are you going to, because we haven't watched the card yet, but I mean, we know the results, obviously, but like, which match would you have taken off to add that trios match?
Yeah. That's kind of tough.
Besides the other trios match that I don't give a fuck about.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah.
But like, I mean, that's not going to be it. That's a champion and the icon.
Exactly, which I'm sure other than us, like, there's a lot of people who are more looking forward to that than the House of Black versus Death Triangle one with Redbeard.
Ever-growing Redbeard.
Yeah. I mean, so I guess it's fitting. I'm we're sick of staying in his go yell at the wall ass age.
It is. I'm definitely sick of him. However, I did see a clip of him and he did something kind of cool. So I can't wait to watch that on Monday or Tuesday, whenever the fuck we're doing our actual Revolution watching review. Yeah.
Yes. Tuesday.
Tuesday. So at least like
Tuesday.
There's something to look forward to because Sting does something cool at least.
All right, so, and I'm sure, like, Sammy's in that match, so I'm sure he does something.
Right, Sammy's in that match, so he's something cool, too, probably.
About the buy-in, though, the Layla Hirsch and Statlander match wasn't that bad, actually.
Was not that bad, besides the one botch where Hirsch tried to do the springboard off the ropes.
But yeah, totally botched it.
But they covered it well.
Yes. They definitely did recover from that well, and it other than that, it wasn't bad. It's a good matchup between those two because they're both powerhouses. There's just a height difference. That's
right.
All.
And, I mean, I thought the right person won the match. I mean, I'm not a fan of Layla Hirsch, or really,
I'm not either. I mean, Statlander is not my favorite either, but I mean, I'm not a favorite of Layla Hirsch, but yeah, I mean, I think so too.
I mean, it told a story. Like, they did the typical heel bullshit, you know, the one body part, break it down. Like, I liked it a lot. Like, I mean, I didn't like it a lot, but, like, it, I mean, it was definitely a good pre-show match.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And they did good. Like, I mean, Layla was the aggressor as the heel. And, you know, exactly. It was a old school, a little bit more old school style wrestling match than some of the stuff that happens on AEW.
Wasn't too flippy. Wasn't too fucking.
Like, no, I mean, they had a few like spots, but like that's it. It wasn't like anything crazy. And those matches are good. And it's like you said, it's a good pre-show match. You know.
Right. I mean, nobody was in their seats yet. I mean, it was fine.
Yeah. And then the 5-minute Hook and fucking QT Marshall
match. Again, that match is fine for the fucking pre-show.
That was definitely a pre-show match.
I mean, granted, you probably could have saved that for fucking Rampage or something, but like,
yeah, it was funny though. Like, I don't like
the teacher versus student thing. Like, I mean, I'm cool with it. Like, whatever, it is what it is. I thought it was good. Yeah, Hook looked good.
Hook is impressive when you see him, man. He's definitely impressive.
I didn't hate QT as much as I normally hate him. I guess. I mean, I was like, whatever. QT's like, I guess he's fine this time around.
Yeah, like, yeah, QT's gonna get his ass whooped. That's fine. Like,
right. I was okay with it.
Yeah. I liked it. Like I said, the more I see from Hook, the more impressive he is. So
right. So yeah, I mean, I thought it was cool. So
yeah,
like I said, 5 minutes, nice, quick little fucking breather match before you get into the trios match.
Yeah, which was actually pretty ridiculous.
It was pretty ridiculous. Eric Rowan, Eric Redbeard, whatever the fuck his name is, big fucking dude.
Yeah.
Well, he's on the wrong team. I think he should be on the other fucking team.
See, to me, it makes sense that he would be on the other team. He's definitely a cult follower.
Right. But like, he has a bunch of fucking tattoos.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing that's funny about Buddy, because he's the only one without tattoos, which looks really weird because the other two are fucking covered in them.
Yeah. So Rowan should have been on that side.
Yeah. Totally. But maybe he only wants to like follow, like be in a group with one Brody. So
I guess, I mean, I
don't know.
can't another Brody follow that. I mean, even though there's Brody King, like big fucking shoes to fill. I don't want to fucking quote Cody, cause that's fucking dumb. But, but I sound like I was doing that for a second.
But yeah, it was pretty cool. And I think it was funny too, but it was cool too, cause Redbeard did use a couple of, Brody Lee's moves in the match.
Yeah. I thought that was cool. I mean, like I said, I thought he looked really good. I mean, he did look like he did a little winded toward the end, but when's the last time he had like a lawn match, first of all, and then like a match to begin with.
He hasn't really been around for a while. Through most of the pandemic, he just popped up here and there for a match, and it wasn't much. It wasn't, you know, but he did pretty good.
Yeah. I thought it was good.
I mean, if he's going to stick around for a while, he'll be fine, because he'll get his stamina back pretty quick, probably.
He sticks around. I want him to switch sides.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the... the thing is...
Because they can wear a fucking goat mask and everything.
Yeah, exactly. He would fit much better with that group. I don't know, maybe they're just having him hold a place until Rey Fénix comes back. I don't know when he's supposed to come back.
That's what that was. I mean, that was probably supposed to be that trios match, but, I mean, he's there, and then he'll turn on him, and then gets to wear a goat mask.
Yeah, you know, some farm animal mask.
Right, yeah, sheep, goat. Well, they were wearing goat mask with fucking antlers and shit, so.
Yeah.
So I think over
there. Yeah, there was one point in that match, though, a fucking Penta hit, I forget if it was Buddy, I think it was Buddy, with the fucking package pile driver fucking movie does on the fucking ring apron, and I thought he fucking killed him.
Oh, the fucking
Fear Factor, whatever it's called.
Yeah. So he hit Black.
Hit Black with it.
Because Buddy was the legal man, and that's what fucked everything up.
Yeah. And then he had that other move where he like rolled through Black and hit fucking Buddy with the fucking Destroyer.
Oh yeah, that was a cool fucking move.
I was like, holy shit. That was impressive, actually.
Penta Dark is good.
Yeah. Penta's always crazy though. Yeah. He's always doing crazy shit like that.
There's a funny shit at the end because, like, Excalibur, who usually doesn't fuck up people's names, called Eric Redbeard Eric Rowan. like, hang out with JR too long. Now you're just fucking everybody's shit up. I'm glad JR didn't have a fucking commentary for that part of it anyway.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
I like JR, but fucking Jesus Christ. Go away.
I like JR, but I think JR is, like, getting too old for this now.
JR needs to go yell at the wall soon.
Yeah. Like, Tony can go with them.
Tony,
I'd rather have Big Show and like fucking Mark Henry with Excalibur, because at least they'll just say stupid shit I'll laugh at. Jericho, Taz, and Excalibur would probably be the best one, honestly. Yeah,
there we go. Let's just do that.
Because Jericho doesn't talk so much, and like those two can actually talk on the mic, and Excalibur would fill that Michael Cole middle position very well.
Right, yeah. I mean, he knows all the technical moves and shit, like, way too well.
Yeah.
I call it flippy flip thing.
Yeah.
He got something different.
Oh, he's annoying, too, because he'll call things, like, Mexican names, then Japanese names, then the American name, and it's like, can you just pick one? Just call you call whatever, the same call move three different things.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. Sometimes it's difficult doing it, so it's a different move. Should know that by now.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so buy-in, I'm going to say, was better than any fucking WWE fucking pre-show I've seen in the last fucking 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't watch a lot of buy-ins anyway. You know that. We usually just skip over those.
Yeah. Well, usually because it's like a four-hour pay-per-view when they do like actual pay-per-views, because they only do like four a year.
Right. Which probably is a four-hour pay-per-view.
Yeah. which, like, you know, fine, you know, but yeah, usually we skip the buy-in, but it was definitely way better than anything WWE gives us. Usually WWE's pre-shows are an hour, and you get one fucking match, and I don't want to listen to
random match even.
Yeah, and like most of the time they're like 10-minute matches, so it's like, you want me to watch an hour to see 10 minutes of wrestling? No, thank you.
Right. Okay, I don't get. I've already seen all this other bullshit. I've already seen all this hype video stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of WWE, a lot of fucking shit happened this week that we missed because no podcast. First of all, new NXT champion as of yesterday.
Really?
Yes, Dolph Ziggler is your NXT champion.
Okay, I'm cool with that. I have to go back and watch that now.
Is a new Intercontinental champion,
which is Ricochet. I saw that one, which is cool. And it's funny too, because everyone bitched for a while about they don't give a shit about Ricochet and Finn Balor, and then randomly the two mid-card champions now are Finn Balor and Ricochet.
Yeah, let them title for title at fucking WrestleMania.
Oh, that would be ridiculous. Actually. Yeah, do that. You already got one with fucking, you know, Brockhead and fucking Reigns, so I don't know. Like, I like this Brock, but I think I'm already over the whole Brock and Reigns thing again for Mania.
Yeah, me too, but it is what it is. It's gonna happen. At least now the stupid IC title is no longer up for grabs with Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, I know, thank God.
So, I mean, I like to see that. And also, like I said, new Raw Tag Team Champions happened on Monday.
Oh, yeah?
RK-Bro.
Oh. That's not surprising, though.
Also, for some reason. Weekend, Impact thing. They have new Impact Knockouts champion.
Yeah, the Inspiration.
That's the tag team champions.
Yeah.
I was talking about the big champion where Tasha Steelz beat Mickey James.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
But yes, what the fuck? Whatever the fuck won Madison Rayne and Tennille are.
Because there's the Inspiration, and yeah, I'm gonna call them the Iconic. Although their name might be the Inspiration now, I don't know.
I think they're the Inspiration, and the other one's the Influence.
Yeah, okay, that's what it is.
Influencers or something like that. They
should really change that shit.
Yeah, they can't have both those at the same time. That's too chaotic.
Yeah.
Anything else from the week that I missed? Actually does a lot from the week that I missed. I will tell you right now that after our two picks that we made, because it's only two of them were different. You won the UFC fight, so Spivak beat Hardy.
Yeah.
And I will tell you who won the ladder match for Face of the Revolution, and that is another win for you. We're tied at 69.
Oh, so Wardlow?
Yeah, Wardlow won that.
All right, cool.
So I'm
happy. I had a funny feeling he was going to win that. I mean, between all now the build-up they've been giving him.
Right, yeah. Between now and Tuesday, you'll figure it out anyway, but at least we'll be able to watch the matches on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, I'm going to know who won things, but like, it doesn't always change anything with us.
Right, I know. So, maybe we watch old shit all the time.
Yeah. Dude, I watch things I've watched before, and I know exactly who's going to win, and I still watch it because I like it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, so I know all the other outcomes, but I'm going to save all my other shit for next week.
Yep.
King watched some of it, so he's gonna talk about some shit, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know what he actually watched, what he didn't watch, but I do have a rant from him, so I'll throw him on. On this late episode that we're making.
Yeah, this week's been a shit show, so.
Yes, it has.
At least we got something out. That's all I'm gonna say. We got something out.
We got something there. So next week, Revolution, we'll finish it off. Watch and review.
Yep.
Watch anything else. Catch up from the week so we have some other shit to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until next week, I'm going to say motherfucking deuces.
Peace.
Welcome again to the Monday Night Rant. I am the king of old school. Let's do this. First off, this was pretty much an all AEW week for me. I really didn't watch Raw, didn't watch SmackDown, didn't watch TNA, didn't watch blah, 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 NXT. When it comes to AEW, I mean, really, I caught a couple pieces. I watched the Battle Royal for a little while. Wasn't bad. That's pretty much all that I don't know if there was anything else that happened there, but that's pretty much all that I watched was the Battle Royal. I have to admit, it left me a little pissed off at the end, only because I hate when matches get the outcome of matches, shall I say, get predictable, which is my complaint about the WWF and the fact that they threw out that the Young Bucks ended up winning it was rather predictable in my opinion. I was hoping to see other, some other team step it up and do something. But yeah, it's just pissed me off that the Bucks won it. And I remember saying on Wednesday night that if they ended up winning the tag team champions, that I'd be extremely pissed off and probably go on an AEW hiatus for a little bit. That's what I said on Wednesday, at least. Now let's fast forward to Sunday. Again, I didn't watch the pay-per-view, but I did catch a couple recaps of everything that went on. Didn't catch the recaps on every match, but I pretty much know a lot of the results. First off, I wanted to see Thunder Rosa win that match. I'm sorry. I think Britt's had that title a little too long. And again, I really do wish that Thunder Rosa had won that. Let's see, moving on. The six-man tag match to open up the pre-pay-per-view, the buy-in, the free-for-all, the whatever the fuck they call it, that was a good match with Black and Murphy and all them. And for lack of a better term, Eric Rowan, Eric Redbeard, all that shit. That was a good match back and forth. I did enjoy that from what I saw of it. I actually watched most of that match on various websites this morning. That wasn't that entertained me. I caught bits and I caught a clips of the dog collar match. From what I saw, that looked like it was entertaining. I want to watch that in its entirety as well. Those are the two matches that I flagged that I actually want to sit back and watch from start to finish. I haven't had a chance to do that yet. Just the results, clips, highlights, whatever the fuck you want to call them. AEW Championship. I'm glad that Paige beat Cole in the Battle of the Atoms. I'm not a fan of Adam Cole. I don't know why. I just don't care for him. Hangman Page, I don't mind him. I don't mind the gimmick. I kind of like the throwback of the cowboy. It worked for James Storm. It worked for JBL. Hell, as long as he's not gonna, act like Bob Orton with his cowboy bit, I think we're all good. Chris Jericho put over Eddie Kingston. That was another good one. I also want to watch the Moxley and Danielson match in its entirety. I saw the clips of that. It looked good. That looked like a good match, like it should have been a good match. Again, I only caught the highlights and the results. I know Moxley won, but I have flagged those three matches that I want to watch. That from the highlights, it piqued my interest, so I'm gonna watch that and hopefully they live up to what I'm hoping they were. Again, I did, like I said, I did watch most of the House of Black and the other trio whose name escapes me. I know it was Pac, Penta, and Eric Redbeard. I just can't think of their faction's name off the top of my head. So yeah, that's my goal. I mean, from what I saw, it looked like it was a decent pay-per-view. I was very happy to see that the Jurassic Express beat out Red Dragon, and more importantly, beat out the Young Bucks. I don't know why. I just feel like the Young Bucks just need to disappear for a while. Not even just permanently and not at the Yell at the Wall stage, but they need to just disappear for a while from the tag team title picture. Personally, I want to see them with, you know, when Omega comes back, have them and Omega, just like the guys have said, I want to see them and Omega go at it against Cole and Red Dragon and go from there. I think that is probably for the best. Build, you know, have that feud fight up then. If Red Dragon ends up taking the belts from Jurassic Express in the not too near future, then have Dippin' Shit, the fucking Young Bucks, come out there and have them play for the titles. I understand that. And I'm all for that. But right now, I just don't want to see them take it off the Express. I have to admit, I actually like the Express. So, I, you know, God help me. Moving on. Want to talk about The Undertaker's Hall of Fame induction. Was finally announced who's going to induct the Dead Man. It's going to be Vince McMahon himself. Initially, I had a problem with that. Now, the more that I've thought about it, I think that only one other person, that maybe two other people, would have been more fitting. Kane was, you know, I said that Kane probably should have done it. If Paul Bearer was alive, no question, Bearer should have inducted him. But, you know, Moody's not alive. I did say Foley was an interesting choice. But the more I thought about it, I mean, Vince McMahon's been there since day one. Vince McMahon has sat and watched his career from day one and built him and helped to build him into the phenom that he is. You know, he helped, he gave him the gimmick, pushed him, gave him the work, you know, what have you. The more I thought about it, I mean, initially I said that no, Vince is going to make it an ego thing, but I don't think he will. Now, on the flip side of it, if you had the other two step up and do it, Shawn Michaels or Hulk Hogan, who were also on that list, I would have been dead set against it. No pun intended. Hulk Hogan would make it only about himself and what the 3 or 4 matches that he's ever had with The Undertaker. And Shawn Michaels, yeah, he was there pretty much the entire run of Undertaker again. But for most of that run, or at least half of that run, Shawn Michaels was the egotistical me first guy that everybody in the back apparently hated, with the exception of the Click. So you can take that for whatever it was, because, I mean, he's going to miss out on the Undertaker in his dead, you know, in the early stages. He's only going to be, you know, in that egotistical thing where he was only about himself. He'd have to go back in, and I don't know. And long story short, I think that Vince McMahon is a interesting choice, and should hopefully do good. While I'm on the topic of Vince McMahon, I also want to bring up that, for the love of God, keep that motherfucker out of the ring at WrestleMania. I mean, come on. He is 70, what did they say, 76, 78, some shit like that. Dude, you don't even get to yell at the wall, okay? You are just, you're in your own fucking room. You should be in a fucking rocking chair somewhere with a blanket over your lap, getting ready to go into the box. I mean, really, you're not, you are, when it comes to wrestling, you are nowhere near, you should not do this. The odds of you dying in that ring are stronger than you actually winning. I don't even care who the fuck you're going up against. Even if you're fighting fucking Hornswoggle, the odds of you dying in that ring are too great. Like, don't do it. Like, you don't even have to take a bump for you to die. I mean, I've already seen you fucking blow out your legs. I've already seen you, you know, do all this other shit. I don't want to see a huge, yeah, I'm done. Yeah, just don't fight. Okay, you want to do this, pick a guy to go up against McAfee like you did with Trump. Pick your champion. And we all know who it's going to end up being. It'll be Austin Theory. But yeah, there's no need for you to get in the fucking ring. The only way that I can see it not being Theory if you do pick a champion is if you bring back your son. And I've got this feeling that Shane McMahon is going to bring up his own thing if he sticks with the wrestling. I've been told that he's potentially opening, doing something with communications. So we'll see what goes on with that. The other thing, I did have another thought on Vince McMahon. And I think I figured out the reason why I don't care for the product that WWE has been putting out lately. And I think I finally figured it out. And I think it's the announce team. I really do. I don't think it's really so much that that everything's so predictable. I think that it would, because if you look at it back in the 90s, back in the early 2000s, shit was predictable back then. I mean, it was, you had a handful of other wrestlers that could step up and take the championships, but it was still predictable. You knew that, for instance, when The Rock went in there against Kurt Angle, and that he, you know, back leading into SummerSlam of, I think it was 01, maybe it was 02, I don't remember fully, but you knew that The Rock was going to end up taking that belt back then. You knew that Angle was going to take the belt from Austin when it was just post 9/11. You knew that Austin was going to take the belt from The Rock in both of the main event pay-per-views that they were in. You knew, I could be wrong. They could have been had three. I don't even fucking remember anymore. But I know that in the first two, you knew that was going to happen. Okay, so just about every, you know, it's still, the predictability was always there. But you had Jim Ross, you had Jerry the King Lawler. Prior to that, you had Gorilla Monsoon, Vince McMahon, Jesse Ventura, Bobby the Brain Heenan. All these guys had, they could tell you the story and they could pick a side if they felt the need to. And you actually got something out of it. Like, they could actually call the match, and even if you weren't paying attention, if it was just the background noise, if you were listening to them, you could get that feel, like what was going on, and you got the emotion out of it. I don't get that same emotion out of Byron. I did not get that same emotion out of Cole. I absolutely hated Michael Cole when he was not with Taz. And even so, if you flip it to WCW, you know, Tony Schiavone, and, you know, they had Bobby Heenan and Mike Tenay and, what was it, Zbyszko, Dusty Rhodes, all those guys, they had the emotion. They had the drive. They actually, it was like, I'm trying to describe it, but it actually seemed like those guys actually gave a shit about what was going on in the ring, and they actually gave you the motion. They made you vested in it, you know, in the match. They made you want to pay attention to it. They made you want to become emotionally involved in it. As opposed to now with the others, it just seems like they're just there for the paycheck. And there's a handful of them that are out there now that still, I mean, in WWE alone, because as I said, Mike Tenay, I don't mind him. I don't, you know, and obviously going to AEW, they've got Shivani and Jim Ross, and Excalibur is actually really good on the mic. They've got Taz. Taz is really good. Clayton said that, you know, I need to listen to the other guys. I don't think I've ever noticed Mark Henry and Big Show going back and forth, but I want to catch that to see how they are. But yeah, I think that's what my problem is. I think it's the announce teams, and more than anything else, I've come to notice that I actually don't mind the likes of Graves and McAfee, because where they're in the, where they've been in the ring, they actually bring something to it. It's the straight men, the guys that call the main match. I just don't care for them, and I think that's part of the problem. I think they need to bring up another announcer that can actually keep your interest instead of, I don't even know. I just don't know. With that said, I'm done talking to myself for the day. Yeah, so I'm done. Bye.
What's going on, y'all? It's your neighborhood bake shop here, MHSL Bake, and you are now rocking with the Mystery Wrestling Theater 420 podcast. Those are my guys over there. Make sure y'all tap in anytime they drop. You know what I mean? Good peoples, good topics, great puns. Yeah, man, check them out. Mystery Wrestling Theater 420 podcast. Check them out because Bake said so. Money high, stress low, that's the motto. You listening to Save You in the background featuring my artist I93 Carry On. Make sure y'all check out the new music.